Penguin Random House Audio presents Crisis in the Red Zone, the story of the deadliest Ebola outbreak in history and of the outbreaks to come, by Richard Preston. Read for you by Ray Porter. Dedicated to the brave women and men who risked or lost their lives to Ebola as they worked at Kenema Government Hospital protecting their nation and the world. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." John, Revelation. Preface. Crisis in the Red Zone is the successor to my 1994 book, The Hot Zone. Both books are nonfiction. The people in this story are real, and the events are actual, and have been reported and told to the best of my ability. The narrative is supported by hundreds of personal interviews and years of research into published and unpublished documents and source material. Quoted speech comes from my interviews with subjects or from their recollections of words spoken by someone who's no longer alive. The people in this story have been largely unnoticed by the world. Yet for me, at least, their actions and choices, their lives and deaths, seem to loom at the center of the most destructive rapid epidemic in anyone's lifetime, one which sent feelers into Dallas and New York City, and may be an example of things to come. Though this story focuses on a few people at certain moments in time, I hope it can be thought of as a window that looks at the future of everyone. Richard Preston. Part 1. Nameless. Sacrament. Yambuku Catholic Mission, Zaire, now Democratic Republic of the Congo. September 9th, 1976. The rains had begun. The nights were clamorous with downpours, and malaria troubled the villages. On the 9th of September 1976, a woman named Sembo Ndobe arrived at the maternity ward of the hospital at the Yambuku Catholic Mission, a remote outpost in Zaire, situated some 50 miles north of the Congo River in a district of Equateur Province called Bumba Zone. Ms. Ndobe had a high fever, and she was in labor. The Yambuku Mission Hospital was a collection of one-story pavilions joined by covered walkways, sitting amid African oil palms and tropical vegetation. The buildings were made of brown bricks and had open porticos running along their sides. The maternity ward was a modest pavilion with a room that contained 19 beds. A metal birthing table, dented and worn, stood at one end of the ward near a chalkboard where the staff wrote announcements of births. Three Congolese midwives worked in the ward, along with a Belgian nun named Sister Beata. Sister Beata was a middle-aged woman with smooth, dark hair, which she wore pulled back tightly under a white head covering, and she had an earthy, warm manner. Her given name was Jean Vertomen, and she came from Flanders. In addition to her head covering, Sister Beata typically wore a short-sleeved white blouse and a white skirt. Sometimes, though, either for fun or for practicality, she would wear a long African skirt printed with a bold design. When she worked in the maternity ward, she covered her habit with a cotton surgical gown. She did not wear rubber gloves. Possibly she may have liked the sensation of close contact with babies and their mothers. Now she examined Ms. Ndobe. The woman was experiencing agony in her midsection. There was a strange look on Ms. Ndobe's face, a blank, vacant, dazed expression, as if she wasn't all there. She could answer questions, but she didn't seem to be fully aware of her surroundings. The whites of her eyes were inflamed and bright red, and the whites glistened with a film of blood covering the surface of the eyeball. She was bleeding around her teeth, and she may have been urinating blood. This was nothing very unusual. It looked like a typical case of adult cerebral malaria, or malaria of the brain, a disease which is sometimes called Blackwater fever. Blackwater fever causes patients to bleed into their eyeballs, to urinate brown or black blood, and to have hemorrhages from other openings of the body. And it causes brain damage, coma, and death. Sister Beata didn't waste any time trying to diagnose the woman's malady. Her goal was to deliver the woman's child and try to save two lives. She helped Ms. Ndobi raise and bend her legs, and she inserted her bare hand into the birth canal and checked the dilation of the cervix. She withdrew her hand and saw that her hand and forearm were covered with blood. Ms. Ndobi was hemorrhaging from her womb, and so this seemed to be a troubled birth or a spontaneous miscarriage. Several midwives or nursing aides got Ms. Ndobi onto the metal birthing table in order to help her deliver her fetus or baby. She continued to lose blood from her womb, which ran onto the table. The aides kept a charcoal fire burning in a hearth outdoors near the ward, where they heated basins of water. An aide brought a basin of hot water to the birthing table. They dipped a clean towel in the water and placed it around Ms. Ndobi's birth opening to soften her skin and help ease the seeming agony of her contractions. They also used the towel to mop up the blood that was coming from her birth canal. They rinsed the towel in the basin to get the blood out of it, got it saturated with fresh, hot water, and they gently placed the towel back around the birth opening. They also used the towel to mop blood from the woman's thighs. When the time was right, Sister Beata brought out the child. It was stillborn and covered in blood. When she saw that the child was dead, Sister Beata might have crossed herself and offered a prayer. The placenta, a mushroom-shaped organ, was a mass of red tissue pressurized with swollen bubbles of hemorrhage. The placenta, however, had not been the only source of Ms. Ndobi's bleeding. After the fetus and placenta were delivered, her bleeding increased. After childbirth, any broken blood vessels in the uterus would quickly seal themselves through clotting, and any bleeding would stop. Ms. Ndobi's bleeding intensified into an uncontrollable hemorrhage pooling on the metal surface of the table. Ms. Ndobi was bleeding out. As her blood spread across the table, her blood pressure fell. Her heart began beating rapidly, and her breathing became shallow and irregular. She died of blood loss and shock, either on the birthing table or in one of the beds in the ward. Afterwards, Sister Beata probably used some of the hot water to rinse her hands and arms. Hemorrhage during childbirth was a major cause of death in younger women in Africa. 5 days after she delivered the stillborn infant, Sister Beata began feeling strange, a little tired, not quite herself. This feeling continued on for about 12 hours. Then, abruptly, she got a splitting headache and broke with a fever. This was likely malaria. You couldn't avoid malaria in the rainforest regions of the Congo Basin. She went to bed in her room in the community house at the mission. It was a low building that stood not far from the hospital, across from the Mission Church, a whitewashed structure that seemed to rise like a reef out of a pond of mud that formed around the church in the rainy season. Sister Beata became extremely weak, and she began throwing up. A fierce pain filled her lower abdomen, and she had several episodes of mild diarrhea. The diarrhea was hardly bad, but the pain in her abdomen increased until it became a paralyzing agony, and the pain went into her spine. She became extremely weak, hardly able to move her limbs or get up from her bed. It was clear that Sister Beata needed to be in the hospital. Some nursing aides carried her out of the community house and placed her in a private room in the women's section of the main adult ward. There, Sister Beata
Sample complete. Ready to continue?